All right, so when did you get bit by the wrestling bug?
The first time I watched it, I want to say I was like, I know it's so cliche, but it was around WrestleMania 14 season. I was, I'm only 23, so that's why I started watching then, and my dad was interested because Mike Tyson was going to be in the main event on the Michael Boston match. That's why he started watching it. And I vaguely remember watching a few Raws before WrestleMania 14, but once I actually watched the event, that was it. It was just game over from there. I haven't stopped it. Terrible addiction.
So there are literally millions of wrestling fans out there, but there are only thousands, if that many, professional wrestlers. How do you make that jump? What made you want to make that jump?
The guy who made me believe I could do it was Kurt Angle, because when I was younger, I had always been a wrestler, I remember before he even got into pro wrestling, one of my coaches at the Jets Wrestling Club had been roommated with him in college, and he had a picture of him on the wall from his 1996 Olympic Games. So, 21. And then once he got into pro wrestling, which I always loved, and he was an amateur wrestler, kind of like the two paths I was going down crossed and met, and I'm like, wow, if Kurt Angle can do it, and he was an amateur wrestler too, then I feel like I can do it. And, fast forward a few, was I 10 at that time? Fast forward to when I was 16, I got in the ring for the first time.
Well, what was that like for you?
Oh, it was unbelievable. As soon as I stepped in there, I knew that I wanted to be a pro wrestler, and nothing was going to stop me either. I was 16, I got in touch with a guy by the name of Javier, still works in the independent team, through some other friends of his, who used to be wrestlers. He just kind of met at a party. It was very weird. We met at one of my friends, a mutual friend's party, met him for the first time, told me that they were wrestlers at one time. They got a new guy named Javier, and I got in touch with him. He's like, hey, well, if you really want to do this, I'll tell you what. If you come with me, I'll, take a day out of, take a day out. We'll get in there. I'll show you some of the basics and, tell me how you feel. From there, maybe you want to join a school. As soon as I got in there, I knew I was going to school. As soon as I stepped, I wiped my feet, stepped in the ring, I'm like, this is it. This is home. And, I always consider the ring like a home to me. Second home,
Who do you pattern your whole shtick after? I mean, we're all influenced by the people that came before us and the people that really inspired us, and you talked a lot about Kurt Angle. So who else kind of has played a role in your in-ring persona, so to speak?
My whole thing is that when I first started out, I still go by the Protector of Professional Wrestling. I've always been a fan of, the shoot wrestlers, the guys who are trained in legitimate martial arts or amateur guys, so I love Dean Malenko. I know it's kind of, controversial, but Chris Benoit. But when I looked at guys like that, I always said, well, the biggest problem they ever had in their careers was they didn't have much of a personality. And so I'm like, well, how could I be a shoot wrestler that has a personality? And so I kind of developed this character of a professional wrestler who is, a shoot wrestler who hates sports entertainment. The idea of characters being more important than wrestlers, the ideas of stars being more important than athletes, to the point where he's psychotic and wants to destroy anybody who resembles an entertainer. And I cut my first promo in that persona in front of Norman Smiley at an MIWC at a clinic, and he loved it. And I knew if he loved it, then it's something I could do going forward.
You were recently ranked among the top 500 wrestlers in the world in the PWI 500. That's got to be something that every professional wrestler dreams of one day. So you're 23 years old. You're still a kid. How does it feel to be on there?
It was incredible, man. Because one thing about me that most people tell you, too, is I'm not very political in the sense that I really don't go out of my way to, try to put myself over. I kind of just always let my work speak for itself. So, and I'm not saying anyone specifically, but obviously there are a lot of politics to try to keep yourself on PWI. I can legitimately say that I had no idea. I never got in touch with them. I didn't know anyone was watching me. I literally got a message from a fellow worker, Jay George. He goes, he just texted me the number, 438. I'm like, what does that mean? He goes, you're ranked on the PWI, dude. That's your number. I'm like, no way. And so he's ripping me. I'm like, no way. There's no way. I'm like, I never even got in touch with people. And sure enough, I was there. And it's just a magazine, I try to kind of humble myself that off the magazine.
Yeah, you are kind of humbling yourself. It's like the wrestling magazine.
that's where then the catch 21 is, it's the wrestling magazine. It's a 24 years now. It's an annual list, and you know, I'll always have a place in wrestling history. And that's when it kind of hit me. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. You know, if anyone ever asked about me, I can always, you know, even if something, God forbid, happened or I stopped, I can pick up that magazine and say, hey, at one time I was ranked in the top 500 wrestlers in the entire world. So it is extremely ongoing, and it kind of my fire lights brighter every time something like that happens.
That success has pretty much everything to do with you holding the WOW title. Can you talk a little bit about that promotion and what makes it so special?
Well, WOW, it was the Little Engine That Could company. It started out as supposed to be a one-off show. A lot of guys had left WEW, and went to Johnny Rod's promotion and started their own. For me, it's special specifically because after I had left NYWC, after we parted ways, they were one of the first companies to give me a try. It was WOW and also East Pro Wrestling. And, now, I've been there for about 5-6 years now, and the progression that company has made and the strides that it's made to become a very, very important wrestling company has shown. For example, I have friends that work in Staten Island. I live in Long Island. And they said, I see your face everywhere. You're always on posters for wrestling. It's crazy. that company, because it's like the only company that runs in Staten Island, it's like being a major celebrity over there, you know? And the guys over there have really worked hard. Everyone has grown and evolved. And I'll say this, the most important thing about that company is the fan base. They have the most dedicated, committed, and consistent fans to the point where it's like they're watching TV. Because they know the character so well, they see you evolve. And it's the one company that has branched off from just being the protector of professional wrestling. Now I'm with Jason Cross and Team Torment, which were more arrogant and cocky and kind of like reminiscent of a DX97 with our own added, twist on it. And that creative freedom I've always had because that company allowed me to have the creative freedom. And the fans that are there have seen me evolve to the point where I could do something different.
What are your real goals for the future, and what do you think you have to change or do differently to get there?
Well, my goals for the future have always been, I always tell myself, a lot of people say they want to be the best of all time. I realistically always say I want to be the best that I could possibly be, and I will find my way. So, my plans for the future are to eventually hopefully get to the WWE. I think that's where most guys want to get to. And to get there, things I would change, I'm just constantly always working on my conditioning, my physique. I'm constantly working on my mic skills, being able to talk, and my in-ring work. I'm just always working to progress that. And I guess the biggest thing I would say when it comes to changes, I'm looking to evolve more with the tag work I'm doing with Jason Cross. He's on his TV show, Married at First Sight, which got a spin-off season, so he's busy, but now that he's closing out the filming of that pretty soon. And also, he just graduated from the Fire Academy, which we're very proud of him. But I'm looking to expand more with that because it's a different style, and it's also a different character, so I'll have more depth. So if I do get to WWE, and they want me to do something other than being a suit wrestler, now I have this experience doing something that's a little more off the wall, a little more designed for entertainment. So I'm just going to continue to try to progress, always evolve, always get better.
Over the last couple of years, especially this summer, WWE has paid a lot of attention to the shoot style wrestling. You know, they picked up Prince Devitt, they picked up Kenta, even Tensai. You could even put in that really stiff, different type of style. Does that make you feel better about wow, this is the stuff that I'm kind of doing, and they seem to like that?
Oh yeah, and specifically, I'm very happy the guys are shorter because I'm not tall. Mm-hmm. The one thing about PWI is they completely messed up my height, but I'm happy they did. It definitely is a breath of fresh air. I think that's where professional wrestling is headed. I think we're going to see in the next boom period, if you people like to say, I think the next generation is going to be the wrestling generation, where you're still going to see guys that have great personalities, but the bread and butter is going to go back to being in-ring work, kind of how with Bret Hart. Mm-hmm. Became the face of the company. You guys, Daniel Bryan, for example, once he found his personality, he became one of, if not the biggest star of this generation,
mm-hmm.
because his wrestling was so great. And once they were invested in his persona, and then they start really appreciating his work. I think that's what we're going to see. Guys like Seth Rollins, guys like Dean Ambrose, guys like Kenta, as you mentioned, Prince Devitt, these are phenomenal, phenomenal wrestlers. They're not getting the platform on national TV to show what they have, and they have the best guys in the world directing them and giving them the right, helping them develop their personality right. And I think with that, we're going to see a crop of guys that are going to take wrestling to its next evolution, so to speak.
Rather than get too far ahead of ourselves, we'll talk a little bit about a dream match, so to speak. We'll talk. I'm not sure how familiar you are with NXT, but is there a guy in NXT that you look at and go, I could have a great match with that guy if somebody gave me an opportunity?
Well, one guy I already did is a guy by the name of Bull Dempsey, because we used to work together back in the day when he was Smith James.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually one someone I consider a friend that made it. We actually have his number. It's not like, oh, I know that guy. Like, everyone knows Chris Weidman in Long Island. No, I actually know Bull Dempsey. And we've had some really good matches. I'd love to work with him. Other than that, I love Enzo Amore, too, man. His personality is so great.
He's
you
a
know,
G.
I could really see some fun. You know, like that serious tension for me with his comedy. I think we can really tell some great stories. And me and Bull, like, you know, if I got there and I worked the style I do now still, and I got in there with him, we could have a real, like, strong style showdown, and we'd both be feeling hurt after, but it would be some kind of match, man. It would be one of those matches that, you know, I'm going to want to lay in bed for a week, but it would be so good.
So let's end with this show, November 8th. Why should people come out and see it? What's going to make it special?
Well, I don't know how familiar people are, but as of right now, Jason Cross and myself are co-heavyweight champions of Warriors of Wrestling, which is an idea that I came up with. I take credit for it, all of it, but it really is. And it's very unique. It's guys, you know, a lot of people always say the same things. If you want to see something different, the show is different. This idea, this angle, you have two guys as one champion who don't want to fight each other. Happy both being champion, screw over the company. And we're actually working a tag match, though, that isn't for the championship, against Jason Karloff and Chris Steeler, who are both tremendous, tremendous athletes and competitors. And I really think it's going to be something special because, you know, everything's leading to the 4-year, and this is one of the last shows before the 4-year. And this is, to me, like when, like, Royal Rumble comes around, WWE, you feel that, like, you know, like you're going up a roller coaster. This is where the roller coaster starts. So I recommend everyone come down and check it out. And it's something that I promise you won't go home disappointed.